Certainly it's good to see everyone today. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. I hope that you can be back with us tonight. If you are in need of any of the weekly devotionals, the new week is back there, but also the white folders back there that has past weeks. If you need any of those, they are back there. If there's some that you don't have that you would like to have, let me know and I'll get them for you. Before we get started today, I just wanted to say a quick word about, let's be in prayer about our country and about some of the things that have happened over the last couple of weeks. And let's pray for peace. Let's pray for calm. Let's pray for people to use common sense and good judgment and hope that things calm down a little bit. We had a very violent week, it feels like. And hope that cooler heads will prevail. And let's pray for our country and pray for peace during this time. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, that's where we will be today. You know, Christianity is viewed by some as being for those who are perfect, those who are without weakness, those who live these morally upstanding lives. You know, even within the church, it can become a place where people feel that they have to be perfect in order to be active, in order to participate. Some folks will feel like, well, I just have too many flaws to participate or to be a part. Someone else is better at that. I can't possibly make a difference. These are things that we can tell ourselves about being a Christian, about being an active member of the church, about being able to accomplish great things for the cause of Christ. But you see, sometimes it's our weaknesses that can become our strength if we give ourselves to God, if we give ourselves to the cause of Christ. Sometimes it's those weaknesses that are our ability to show strength and to reach out and help others. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul is talking about things to boast about, things to be proud of. And he says there in verse 21, to my shame, I must say we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? Notice this, I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. Paul's talking about things that people are boasting about or bragging on themselves for. Well, I'm a Hebrew. Well, I'm an Israelite. Well, I'm a Christian. Paul says, I can say every one of those things. I can talk about every one of those things, and they're all true. And he even goes to the point of saying, well, you say you're a servant of Christ. Well, guess what? I'm a better one. Let me show you. But he says, I'm talking like a madman. So he lets us in on understanding that this is a foolish thing to say. But he says, let's talk about what it means to be a Christian. He says, 24, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers. Danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Paul says, every one of these things happened to me, and they happened to me because of Jesus. They happen to me because I teach Jesus, because I preach Christ crucified. But notice what he says in verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. I will boast of things that show my weakness. You know, he lists all these things that he could boast about. He lists all these things that he suffered, all these things that he was and that he did. And if anyone had room to boast, it was Paul. Certainly he was committed. Certainly he could say, these are the things I was willing to do. These are the lengths I was willing to go to. And then in chapter 12, he talks about this vision. And it's a very strange commentary that he gives about this vision in chapter 12. This special vision that he had, it says in verse 1, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except for my weaknesses. Some vision, some strange thing that Paul got to experience. And he says, look, this is something I can boast about. I can go back and I can talk about all the things I experienced. I can tell you about things that I was allowed to see. And I can boast about all those things. But he says, verse 9, on behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except of my weaknesses. And then as you look at verse 7, he begins to talk about what kind of weaknesses and how that God kind of got his attention. He says, verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. This is Paul, chosen by God on the road to Damascus. He was chosen specifically to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He was put in a very prominent place in the plan of God. Certainly, if there was anyone that God would fix a problem for, would it not be Paul? Remove any obstacle, remove any weakness, allow him to fully go forward as his servant. Look at what all he experienced. Look at what all he was willing to do and what all he was willing to suffer just to be a preacher of the gospel. Yet God's message to Paul was simple. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. We can be wrapped up into weaknesses, failures, mistakes. What gets us off track? What we feel like keeps us from being worthy to be active, faithful Christians? I just have too many flaws. I just make too many mistakes. I just can't be all that God wants me to be. We could tell ourselves this over and again. But what Paul realized was that he was made strong because of his weakness. Who is glorified through Paul's weaknesses? It was God. Who was glorified through the things that Paul suffered? It was Christ. God can use those weaknesses to become our strength. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Turn over to chapter 13. I want you to notice another example of weakness. And to be honest, it's hard to think of it this way. But in truth, it's what Jesus was willing to do. Chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, I warned those who sinned before all the others, and I warned them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but he is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. I want you to think for just a moment about Jesus suffering the crucifixion. Here was Jesus, the Son of God. And he was placed upon that cross. But understand that he did that willingly. He chose to die. We sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. We sing that knowing fully well that had Christ not wanted to be on the cross, he wouldn't have been on the cross. He had the power to come off. He had the power to do whatever he wanted on that day. He had the strength. But he chose weakness. He chose the weakness of his flesh to then display the power of the Almighty God. Now, I don't think that we think of the crucifixion as a show of weakness. But here's the thing. Jesus was in a mortal body. He was flesh and blood, just like us. And he chose to subject that flesh and blood to death on a cross so that we could have the opportunity to live with him. He chose weakness so that the power of God might be displayed. He chose weakness to show the strength of God. He allowed himself to die. He allowed his body to be destroyed in order that the strength of God might be shown forth. He submitted to weakness in order to show strength. See, we too are weak. We too make mistakes. When it comes to our weaknesses, our sins or our mistakes are our weakness. The flesh and blood that we have, we fall for the sins of the flesh that Jesus didn't fall for. They become our weaknesses, but we can live with him. We don't live in those weaknesses when we live for Christ. Weaknesses don't have to define us, but our weakness can become our strength. Too many times there are people who won't give their lives to Christ, who won't submit their lives to his will, who won't fully become the Christians they can become because they're wrapped up into seeing their weaknesses. They're wrapped up into the sin, and that's all they see. And so they think of God and they think of being a Christian and they think that they're just not worthy. It's not me. Someone else is a better example. Someone else will be better at that. Someone else can do that. My weaknesses are just too great. You know, what might be weighing you down or holding you back from serving God fully today? What might that be? What might keep you from fully becoming what you can be? You know, we can focus so much on our weaknesses that we fail to allow God to use us. What can God do with our lives? And what can God do with our weakness? When you think of weaknesses, you know, God can turn that into a strength. We can reach others who struggle with the same things we do. We can talk to others about what Christ, the impact he's had on our life, even though we have those weaknesses. Alcoholics Anonymous was founded by two men who struggled with alcohol. Two men who had given in time and time again. But countless people have been affected and changed because of their weakness. Because they chose to take that weakness and turn it into a strength. They chose to address the weakness and move forward. And not be ashamed of who they were, but looking forward to what they could become. You see, when we wrap ourselves up into our weaknesses, it's like taking an anchor, tying it around our leg, and throwing ourselves into a lake. We're just weighed down. We're held down. God can remove that and help us to move forward. No matter what we may struggle with, someone else does as well. If we succeed, if we live for Christ, if we live for God, if we succeed, what can we then do to help others who struggle with some of the same things that we do? Our weakness can then become our strength. Our weakness can become the door at which we enter someone else's life and affect change in their life. The church is not filled with perfect saints. The church is full of people. And people make mistakes. People mess up. People sin. The church is full of people who make mistakes. But hopefully the church is full of people that want to do what's right and want to make up for those mistakes and live for Christ to the best of our abilities and help others do the same. We do not have to be weighed down by our weaknesses, but we can allow God to use us and to make those weaknesses our strengths to reach out and save others. Because He can do that. Too often, our weaknesses cause shame and guilt. And they cause us to put ourselves in a box and put ourselves on the sideline. We must do our best to live for God, understandably so. We must do our best to live as close to His Word and live as faithful as we can. That's part of being Christian. We do the best we can. But when we make mistakes, we understand that that's going to happen. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. We'll never get it right 100% of the time. We're going to make mistakes. But those mistakes don't have to weigh us down. Those mistakes don't have to move us away from God, but can actually help us understand how much He loves us and how much He cares, and understand that His grace is sufficient for me. Yeah, I make mistakes. But I'm going to do my best to live for Him. And He will make me perfect. He will make me complete. He gets the honor. He gets the glory. He gets the praise. Because it's His strength that overcomes my weaknesses. You know, when I'm weak, we can echo the words of Paul today. Then I am strong. Let's take our life. Let's take what we do. And let's don't be ashamed when we make mistakes, even though we got to make up for them. But let's let people understand the church is not a place for just perfect people. It's a place for everybody. It's a place where mistakes are made, but it's a place where each of us together struggle, move forward, and do our best to live for Him. The power, the glory, the attention that we get needs to go to God. It needs to bring people to Him and the change that He can make in their life. Perhaps you're here this morning and those weaknesses have held you back from becoming who you can be. There are those who really feel like, because of sin that has been in their life or is in their life, that God can't use them, that God won't use them, that God doesn't have a place for them. I assure you, He does. You can do great things in the cause of Christ if you give yourself to Him. Don't be wrapped up in weakness, because God's strength is greater than our weaknesses. Give yourself to Him and see what He can do. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you. If you've heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, being clean and whole in His sight. Maybe here this morning you've wandered away. Understand He's here. His arms are outstretched. And if we can pray with you, we would be glad to do so today. If you have a need, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Almost persuaded.